support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. We've been following the story of asylum seekers living in a precarious position in King County. For more than a year, migrants from South America and Africa have been bouncing in and out of motel stays, Airbnbs, and a church parking lot in Tukwila while they wait for more permanent shelter and work permits. This week, hundreds of families pitched tents and slept on tennis courts outside the Garfield Community Center in Seattle Central District after funding for rooms at the Kent Quality Inn ran dry. They stayed the night on Tuesday and planned to stay for longer until an anonymous donor stepped in yesterday with a $50,000 gift to get them back into hotel rooms. For now, at least. For the latest, I'm joined by Anna Patrick, a staff reporter at the Seattle Times who works on the Project Homeless team and has been all over this story. Anna, thank you very much for being here again.
Hey, always happy to be here.
Anna, let's just set the scene for folks. What did things look like at the Garfield Community Center near Garfield High School earlier this week?
Yeah, so I visited the site yesterday afternoon. It's right next to the Garfield Community Center, and I believe it's on Seattle property. I saw a lot of tents, probably more than 50, all different colors. They looked like brand new camping tents, and they were all scattered across the tennis courts there next to the community center. They were sort of fenced in. It was kind of like, I shouldn't say a caged area, but it was like a fenced in area with a ton of tents. There were tables set up. There was a lot of food being provided. Some people were playing music. I saw kids kicking a soccer ball around on the baseball field, which is right next door. People were scattered, you know, sitting under shade and on benches, you name it. It was a very active scene. And you could see, I saw a ton of people coming and going and offering more food and, you know, providing donations and such.
And who are these people who ended up at the tennis courts for about 48 hours or so?
Yeah, the majority of people were asylum seekers that have been living at the hotel in Kent. Most of those folks are originally from Venezuela. They estimate that there's around 240 people who have been living at that hotel over the last couple months. Now, in addition to that, we also have other asylum seekers that are coming from places like Angola, Congo, Senegal, and a lot of those individuals are single adults who have been staying in Airbnbs across the region, and they've been paid for by the Riverton Park United Methodist Church in Tukwila. But recently, the church had to, they're starting to run out of money to pay for those stays, and so some of those Airbnbs had to be, they had to end their stays there. So they too have joined this group. And I believe it brings the population closer to around 270, give or take. We're probably pushing closer to 300. Mm-hmm. It's hard to give you an exact number.
Yeah. Now, the last time we talked, Anna, there were these donations from faith organizations like the Muslim Association of Puget Sound that kept folks in the hotel in Kent. When did that money run out?
Yeah, we saw two donations come in, both around $60,000, I believe, and that allowed people to stay in the hotel for a month. And it is just, yeah, we're on phase probably five or six of, you know, running out of money and facing swift eviction. And this go around, we've got an anonymous donor giving $50,000, and the hotel manager down in Kent told me yesterday that's going to cover 11 days.
Wow. Yeah. So the money from the faith organizations ran out. Folks ended up at the tennis courts. But then, as you say, there's this big gift that has now come through. Again, it's a member of the King County Council that helped facilitate that. Do we know anything more about this $50,000 that has materialized to help these asylum seekers?
Yeah, I would love to tell you more. The only information I got is that this is an individual that lives in King County, so is local, I think has deep connections in the community. And this is what I'm told by King County Council member Sarah Perry. And I believe this person found out about this immediate need through a story that the Seattle Times published on Wednesday. So yeah, this I really think this came from following the news, following coverage of this ongoing crisis that continues to face a lot of threats of hundreds of people having to live unsheltered outside.
You mentioned Riverton Park United Methodist Church. The pastor there, Jan Bullerjack, has been at the center of providing aid for hundreds of migrants over the past year. Many folks have been staying at her church in Tukwila and also in the parking lot outside. But you have reported that the situation there has gotten very dire. The last time we spoke to Pastor Bullerjack, she was starting to have to turn people away. What is the situation there?
Yeah, we've reached a new level at the church, and that is largely due to Pastor Jan reaching full capacity. She says she's beyond capacity. That's for a number of reasons, but what it is meaning is that for the first time in her history, so for the first time over the last 16 months, she has now had to start turning away families who are in need of shelter, families with young children. What I hear from her is not a choice she wants to make, right? But she is very much out of space in the interior of the church's building. I know she has people sleeping in every corner, and I've seen it with my own eyes. And additionally, there are still people sleeping outside. The biggest reason they are now at a limit is because they worked with the city of Tukwila to set up a very large industrial-sized tent. That tent is full now. But one of the agreements in the church working with the city was that they weren't going to continue to add more camping tents to the grounds outside, that they were going to try to start to manage how many people were living outside in tents. And so that's why we find ourselves where we are. And the biggest concern, I think, on Pastor Jan's mind is she has no idea where families are going when she turns them away. She doesn't have good options to give people. She tells folks, and I believe she helps folks to call King County's Family Shelter Intake Line, but I know from talking with the folks who manage that line that they receive on average anywhere from 40 to 50 calls a day. And due to very limited capacity, they're only able to get two to three of those families into shelter at night. So that means most of the people who are unsheltered calling that line are not getting a shelter bed. They're not being able to move inside. And additionally, Pastor Bullerjack told me that she's been so, I think, at her wit's end that she tells people sometimes to return to SeaTac Airport,
To
where,
SeaTac, yes.
yeah, and
That just really floored me that,
yeah.
folks coming into the community through SeaTac are now being told to go back there because at least it's a warm and safe place to sleep at night. But of course, SeaTac Airport doesn't want people to be doing that. The Port of Seattle doesn't want people to be doing that.
You're right.
Anna, before you go, so we have this $50,000 that will help the hundreds of migrants that were on the tennis court at Garfield to be inside at the hotel rooms in Kent for another 11 nights or so. But that money will eventually run out. Isn't there supposed to be some King County funding on the way or state funding to at least help in the longer term?
The short answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there's aid coming, but the real question is when will it get here and when will it start being applied? The soonest we're going to see a big investment is from King County. They tell me they're going to announce the award for their $1 million RFP that's going to go directly towards assisting asylum seekers. And I believe we're going to see that by the middle of April. However, it's taken over a month already, right, to get through this process. And the place where we're expecting the largest investment is coming from the state. And that money is not available. The majority of the funding can't be touched until July 1st. So we've got about 3 months, right, of a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah. And the patchwork of going from gifts from faith organizations that then run out, people end up on the street or on a tennis court, and then generous individual donor steps up anonymously and gives another almost a dozen days in the hotels. But again, that will run out eventually. And this is just really proving to not be a solution here. Anna, anything else that folks should know about what's going on, the plight of the folks who are waiting to hear about their asylum processing claims and the situation in King County, which, again, is reflected across the country right now with cities and counties dealing with an influx of asylum seekers?
I think the biggest thing is, in what I'm hearing from folks that are working on the ground, as well as from asylum seekers themselves, and like our pastor, James Buller Jack, down in Tukwila, is that until we see a long-term plan get stood up here, we're going to just continue to face the same revolving threats. You know, like you described it as a patchwork. It is. We keep putting Band-Aids on this, and it gives us a little more time. But yeah, it's revolving threats, and it's really unsettling for families that I know have tried to enroll their kids in school, right? They're trying to sort of begin some form of routines and normalcy. And that is just so hard to do, right? With these revolving threats of not knowing if you're going to be sleeping outside that night.
Yeah. Or if you're going to have your stuff in a bag and move out to wherever your parents can find to pitch a tent. Anna Patrick is a staff reporter at the Seattle Times on the Project Homeless team, and she's been following the issue of these migrants in King County and Seattle, the city of Tukwila, and where they're going to sleep at night. Anna, thank you again, as always, for your reporting.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.